Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe I see you working hard, wanna let you know I'm proud, let you know that I admire what you do. Don't know if I need to reassure you, if my life will be purposeless without you. If I wanted, when I asked you about it, you inspire me to be better, you challenge me for the better. Sit back and let me pour out my love letter. Let me help you, take off your shoes, untie your shoestrings, take off your cufflinks. Don't you wanna eat food, let me feed you. Let me run your bath water, whatever you desire. I'll fly ya, sing you a song, turn the game on. I'll brush your hair, help you put your durag on. Wanna put her up, yeah. Want a manicure. Baby, I'm yours, I wanna cater to you, boy. Let me cater to you, so baby, this is your day. Do anything for my man, baby, you blow me away. I've got to clip up your dinner, your dessert, and so much more. Anything you want, let me cater to you. Inspire me from the heart, ain't nothing tear us apart. Making sure that I'm doing my part. Boy, is there something you need me to do? If you want it, there's a word. I know whatever I'm not fulfilling, another woman is willing. I'm gonna fulfill you, my body and spirit. I promise ya, I keep myself up, remain the same shit you fell in love with. I keep it tight, I keep my figure right. I'll keep my hair fixed, keep rocking the hottest outfit. When you come home, they pat me on my shoulder, I'll roll over. Baby, I heard you, I'm here to serve you. Love you need, give it, it's my joy. All I wanna do is cater to you, boy.
Let me cater to you, cause baby, this is your day. Do anything for my man, baby, you blow me away. I've got to clip up your dinner, your dessert, and so much more.
Hello, hello. Okay, we good, we good. I'm back here setting up things behind the scene. Yeah, I won't believe I've been waiting for this interview the last 2 or 3 days maybe. And I got to keep it real because, you know, that's the name. It's the Keeping It Real show. I ate some chicken about 4 o'clock and I passed out. And somebody called me and woke me up about 7:30 I gotta call her in a minute. She's probably out listening on the link. Thank you very much. But that's what everything is about. It's a support system, and, you know, a team. It's everybody. It take a lot of things to make a show work, thing successful. So, where we wanted to start off, I wanted to start, man, we got the phone lines is crowded. I mean, I swear, I gotta take my hat off. It's nothing better than starting this show and seeing a bunch of phone numbers of the listeners who prepared to come out here and listen to the show, because it's Friday night, and I know people could be doing anything they want to do, but I feel blessed when I turn the computers on. I got three computers in front of me, two microphones. I swear it's nothing better than seeing the phone lines full with listeners, and that's why I come up here and I do my best. I was talking to Dre, my program director. I told my sister the same thing. I said, right after my show on Friday night, I'm already preparing for my show next Friday. Soon as 10 o'clock come or 11 or whenever we close out, I'm already preparing for next Saturday. And believe it or not, this is work. And, you know, time is money. So periodically, from time to time, I might ask people for donations or whatever. But if I get them, I do. If I don't, I don't. I do this for the love. Now, I'm not sure. It might be some people on the line, because my first guest was supposed to be the same sex love, same sex relationships, and they wasn't able to tune in at 8 o'clock. Fortunately, by chance, I received a phone call, and it wasn't even about a podcast or anything like that. I don't want to give it away like that. It was somebody close to me, and they was calling me to tell me about the death of their mother, and we wind up talking and chopping it up. You know, when you're talking to people and you're catching up on things, because you might haven't talked to them in a while, and my mind just snapped, and I was like, damn. This would be good for podcasts. This testimony would be good for podcasts. Not for views and not for likes and all that, because I get those anyway. It would just be good for podcasts. And also therapy, not only for my guests, but for me and for anybody out there who might know somebody who came into some tragic events, horrific episodes, stuff like that. So it's probably somebody out there right now that his testimony is going to help. You know, but we have to see. You know what I mean? But I believe, God willing, I believe it will. I see the people on the phone lines, and I see some people pressing one already, but you have to bear with me. I can't bring you in yet, because I can't do that before I want to start the interview first. Actually, what I got to do I have to set up one more thing behind the lines, and I'm trying to do it as I talk to everybody. But we got a hell of a show. We got a hell of a show tonight for you. I swear, for everybody out there, sit back or call a friend or tell somebody, yo, it's a good show about to go down right now. And my guest, extraordinary. You will not believe it. You will not believe my next guest. Trust me on that. The story he has to tell, the story of willpower, the belief in God, determination. It's a real trying and compelling story. And I'm glad for everybody out there on the link and everybody that's on the lines. So what I'm gonna do real quick, I see my guest. He's already on the line. Also, I'm gonna play one more quick song, and attach this last computer, and then we're gonna come right back with my guest. And after that, we're gonna take callers, because he's open for a Q&A. You know, for anybody want to do questions and answers. And we're gonna just talk as long as he want to talk. As long as he want to talk, that's how long we're going to talk. I'm trying to set something up behind the scenes real quick. Bear with me, everybody. And I also have to call a couple of people in the show who phones won't let them call in. So I'm also going to have to do that. It's Friday, December 23rd. I'm about to put everybody in the Christmas spirit right now. Let me see. Okay, check it out. I'm going to try to come in with this song and take this last quick break. Like I said, sit back, get your popcorn, or get what you got to drink, or do what you got to do. Call somebody, let them know. We're getting ready to have a great show. And let me see if I could get this right. One second, everybody. Give me 1 second. Okay, the song is queued up. See, my program director, he listening. He's supposed to be doing this for me, but he back there doing a lot of other things. He had to get the link for me. I know you're on the line. I'm getting ready to send you the link. My program director just sent me the link for the show. So I'm getting ready to send it over to you in a minute. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online podcast. We got a hell of a show tonight.
That your baby boy walk where angels try. And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God, of Mary.
Welcome back. How was that for a Christmas carol? That was CeeLo Green. Mary, did you know? If that don't put you in a spiritual Christmas mood, nothing will. I'm all set up back here. I'm ready. I'm good to go. It's 8:18. I hope everybody on the line. If there's anybody else out there that need me to call that number, you got to text me or something. I'll try to get to you on the next break. Until then, you just got to listen on the link. Okay, we don't want to put this off any longer. Like I said earlier, sometimes there come a time in life when God, I guess, I don't know, he chooses to do certain things, and we can't figure it out, or we don't know the answers or the reasons why. And some things may be tough, and same things may be tougher than others. But it's one thing we know, and it's always said, he don't never put nothing more on you than you can handle. Now, it's easy for the people to say it's not going through, people are going through or nothing. But believe me, I believe in that statement, that he's not going to put more on you than you could bear. And I also believe that whatever don't kill you just make you stronger. It was, everybody know my friend Andre. When I met him, you know, he's confined to a wheelchair with muscular dystrophy. I learned more from him about the world of the disabled than anybody. The things I learned from him, it was like going to college for 8 years. And most of all, what I learned about is the world of the disabled. And you want to meet some strong people? You'll get to know somebody with a disability. You want to know some confident people? To know somebody with a a disability. Confident, strong, and all the other words that go along with that. Now, somebody like me, I don't know where their confidence come from. I don't know where their strength come from. I guess it's something deep down inside of them that just goes off when one thing goes wrong, another thing, you know, turns up. They say, like, if you lose your left arm, my mother used to tell me this, when if you lose your left arm, then your right arm will get twice as strong. If you lose a leg, then your other leg will get twice as strong. Like in Andre's situation, he lost his ability to walk. But I don't know anybody that's more intellectual or smarter or a wizard with computers and with graphic designs, or I don't know anybody stronger. So, and that might be with anything in life. Some people might have too much of this and not enough of that. God didn't give you but he gave you that. Or he gave you this, but he didn't give you that. But the reason I'm leading this introduction like this, because it's all leading up to my guest. And I'm not going to get too much into the story. I'm going to let him get into his own story. And he'll be able to articulate it well. I would just say that, let me see if I can get it right. I don't know if I can remember the date, but I could say a little over a year ago, it was a man, a strong man, a family man that was just working to provide for his family. It just happened to be right in the middle of the COVID epidemic. And, you know, those are strong people, the healthcare workers and the truck drivers and the police officers and the school teachers, the people that was in the middle of it, the nurses and the doctors, those the people that was out there in the mix of that COVID. And he was one of them. He was just out working, providing for his family. Another day at work, just like any other day at work, driving a truck. And an unforeseen occurrence happened. And at that time, he had to make the choice between driving into other cars or other people. He could tell you more about it than me, or sideswiping the wall. And he decided to sideswipe the wall or crash into the wall. And that leads us up to where we at right now. And the rest of the story, it's gonna be up to him to tell you. Mr. Williams, you with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
You seen that Mr. Williams, right? Oh, Mar, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I gave you the real thing. I hit you with the Mr. Williams.
Hey, I'll take it.
But I gotta bring you a right. Everybody, I want everybody to meet Omar Williams, my guest.
Thank you.
Whoa, man. He called me up like 15 minutes before the show. I was trying to get ready. I had fell asleep. He said, how you going to fall asleep now? It's game time now. I said, damn, okay.
Yeah.
When a guest tell you it's game time, shit, he ready. How you doing tonight?
I'm great. By the grace of God, I'm doing wonderful.
Hey, that's the way we're going to start this show off, just like that. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot of people listening.
I'm glad.
So, They want to hear your testimony. Let me see where we start at.
It's so much. Where should we start?
What did you say?
I was getting ready to say the same thing you just said. Where do we start? It's so much, man.
Let's start off with how old are you?
I'm 35 years old. Or should I say 35 years young? I like that better.
35. You in a relationship? You married? What you doing?
I'm in a relationship currently.
Okay. How is your days right now? How is your day? How are your days? Like, how would you sum up a day in your life?
Where can I start with that? As far as a day in my life, well, I never start my day without dropping to my knees and praying to my God to give me life on this earth every day. Gotta have my coffee. That's the first thing I do in the morning. Gotta drink my coffee. They don't start without my prayer and my coffee.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, you know, I wake up and it takes more or less me bumping into a wall or, you know, because in my mind I can see. But reality is I can't. Because I lead with my mind and not my eyes at this point.
Oh, okay. Well, I got you. Let the cat out the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You let everybody. Well, I was gonna. Well, that's good because I was trying to figure out how we was gonna get into it. But everybody out there, the accident that he was in, it left him blind without his sight. And when was the accident? What was the date of the accident?
April 5th, 2021.
April 5th, 2021. So that's a little over a year.
Yep. Mhm.
And what you said, you start off your day sometime usually with bumping into a wall.
Yeah, that just wakes me up.
You joking or you serious?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Want you, but wow, I'm trying like this. I'm kind of, what's that word, mortified, mystified, because you sound
hey,
once when we was talking the other day, and the more you told me mm-hmm. about he just lost his mother when last week,
literally, yeah, last week.
He just lost his mother last week. You had a brother that was tragically murdered.
I had a brother
too,
that
right?
was murdered about, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you have a one of your sons or your daughters.
Yes, I have a deceased son that passed, yes.
I remember when we was talking the other day briefly, everything that you was telling me, and all I kept saying is, he still sounds so vibrant, like he still sounds so strong.
Well, that's simply because that's not me, you know. That's God, you know. God is taking over my life at this point, and you know when you're under God's orders. You're unbreakable. When I give
like
him
that.
My all, and when I give him my glory, can't nothing defeat that. So whether you're
That's
blind,
true.
You know, it doesn't matter what happened in your life. When God's first, you're unstoppable. Think of it as a Mack truck going 100 miles an hour. It's unstoppable.
Yeah, I like that.
I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, I was getting ready. I was like, no, that's not a joke. Not a good joke, time, Jay. But I heard you say a Mack truck going a 100 miles an hour. But that's good though, man. We got to keep God first. What do you want through that day? Take us through that day.
Now, where do we start? Will we start in my days in Patterson, or we start in my days from a year ago?
No. We wanna. Well, everybody, yeah, he grew up in Patterson. He's a Pattersonian and living in living in North Carolina now, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And how long you been living in North Carolina?
Probably roughly the last 7-8 years.
Okay, I thought it was more.
But you know, when you're a truck driver, you're a resident of every state.
You're a resident of everywhere, right?
Yes, sir.
So okay, look, how was it driving a truck?
I mean, it was beautiful. You know, I was driving for about 6 years, and, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, I got to see places and things that I would never imagine that I would see, you know, everywhere from Tacoma, Washington, all the way up into Canada. And it's just a different experience. It's a different lifestyle. And it takes a very strong-willed individual to be able to leave their family behind each and every week, or sometimes months at a time, to sacrifice to bring food home on the table. I enjoyed it. You know, I can't complain. I mean, if I had my eyes set, I would get right back in the truck. But
so you really loved it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I got a close friend of mine. We've been friends since 87, and he drives trucks. He actually got his own trucks, and we talk a lot when he on the road. And it's almost like he lived in that truck.
Because
you know, y'all be taking some long rides, like cross country, and the trucking field has grew so much. I mean, like the trucks with beds in them and TVs in them, and you could put PlayStations and microwaves and refrigerators, and it's almost like a house on wheels, right?
Oh, that's exactly what it is. You make it what you want to make it, far as your home. You know, you couldn't tell me that wasn't my house.
And y'all sleep in the truck, you eat in the truck, and all things like that. So look, take us. Can you remember that day, like waking up that day, the day of the accident?
Well, yeah, it was just a normal day. You know, typically get up on a Monday and I go pick up my load and I head, you know, I started heading north. You know, I love driving up north in Jersey, Connecticut, all the way up to Boston. And I remember taking this load and, you know, having my coffee, you know, normal start to my day, early afternoon per se. And I'm driving. And out of nowhere, you know, traffic's coming to a sudden stop. And I immediately realized that my truck wasn't slowing down. It was not stopping. And at that moment, as a professional driver, I had to make a split decision.
Okay,
and
hold on one second. Because this is what I wanted to ask you. Because, you know, people talk about epiphanies and unforeseen occurrences and outer body experiences and all stuff like that. Was it anything strange about that morning? Anything that happened that was strange, like that don't usually happen? Was it anything that, like a sign from God, or what? Was it anything out of the normal that day?
No, it wasn't.
Just a regular day.
Regular day hitting the road.
How was the weather?
It was nice. It was a nice day. It wasn't raining. Sunny. From what I can remember.
Okay. Take us back. You driving down the highway.
Mm-hmm. And I see traffic coming to a sudden stop. And, you know, I immediately start to downshift to slow my rig down. And I realized the truck was not stopping. I had to be carrying almost 80,000 pounds on the back of my truck at the time. And I saw it happening before it happened. So I guess that would be an epiphany, you know. It's like I knew if I hit this vehicle in front of me, it was at least a 95% chance that I would take the people's life that was in that car ahead of me. So I decided to do the only option I had. I had three options. It was either suicide, which would have been jumping out of my truck, hitting the car in front of me, which would have been homicide, or take the chance of hitting a wall to slow the truck down. And that's what I chose to do. I took the third option and didn't even realize what damage was done at the point. Like, it was 2 months later when I realized what had happened as far as my sight and all the injuries and, you know, being medevaced off the scene. Like, it was a very horrifying experience, and to know that, you know, I woke up in the hospital 2 or 3 months later with the injuries that I sustained from this accident was a miracle in its own. And I knew right then and there. And they say, well, you know, I remember joking with the doctors at the time. They came in there and said, hey, Mr. Williams, you're not going to be able to see. And I said, I was like, oh, wow. I said, I thought y'all was going to say y'all got rid of my manhood or something. And, you know, I took that moment, you know, not to joke about it, but, I mean, I'm just being honest with you. You know, when tragedy happens in my life like this and I survive it, you know, I give God the highest glory, because at the end of the day, I wouldn't be here talking to you today if it wasn't for God. There was doctors in that room that did not expect me to live, that told my family they need to start making arrangements. They didn't even know who I was. You know, I was literally a ghost in the hospital. I was a number. That's how badly my injuries were, to the point where I've had brain surgery, my eyes torn out of my socket. You know, it is a testimony. You know, I know we started that off with being a testimony, but I know I had angels working on me in that emergency room. To be resuscitated 5 times, to come out of the hospital and still be able to function as a normal individual. I can walk. I can talk. I mean, I can do everything you can do, just without sight. And
wow.
because I knew God made this happen and put me in this position for a reason, I don't question it. I just deal with it. And he's showing me over and over again how much of a soldier I am for him. And the tragedy didn't stop there. You know, you thought my brother getting murdered, you know, okay, what else can happen after that? I lose my eyesight. What can happen after that? You lose the closest thing that a son or a daughter could lose, which is your mother. And to have to deal with all these tragedies and the type of childhood and growing up that you have to deal with, the group homes, institutions, and, you know, it all, God was setting me up for something, and he's still setting me up for something. And I know that this is not the end. This is not the end. That's why I wake up every morning. Like I told you, I drop to my knees. I pray. I drink my coffee. and I let God lead my day.
Wow, well said.
Yeah.
So after the accident, you was in a coma for 2 months?
Well, I don't know if it was a coma or I was just heavily medicated, but I couldn't tell you what was going on, and, you know, I was in a whole nother world. So
yeah, we gonna get to that too, because you told me some strange things that was going on.
Yeah.
When you was dead before they brought you back to life.
Correct. Correct.
You know, because everybody want to know, like, what do you see when you die? Is it a light? Is it a bright light? Or do you cross over? Do you meet loved ones? You know, do you walk into the pearly gates? Is it a big devil there with horns and fire? It's not normal for people to die and come back. You know, but you could tell the story. You know, hold up.
Uh-huh.
So waking up, right? Whenever after being heavily medicated or in a coma, so was you in pain physically?
I'm gonna give this moment to God. Because by the grace of God, I literally didn't feel any pain while I was in the hospital, you know. And with the type of injuries I had, once again, you know, it's enough to make a lion cry. And, you know, God had me the whole way through that, you know, and I can't. And I'm leading that like that because it's very, very important for me to honor him for what he's done. Like you don't know, like my body, I got a tingling feeling going through my body right now because I know God's spirit is just floating through my heart right now, and all of this was God, man. Regardless of what I say, how I say it, what I do, and how I do it, God is amazing. The stuff he can do, the stuff that he has done, and the stuff he will do is beyond believable. But I'm sorry, man. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No. Listen, everything you saying is touching not only me, but, you know, it's touching somebody out there. I heard you say a few minutes ago that after everything you've been through, like, you know, you got a purpose on this earth.
Correct.
And I like to say that to people, that every day that God wake you up, that lets you know that you still got a purpose in the world, because he woke you up. If you didn't, he wouldn't wake you up, you know, so you still have a purpose, no matter what your purpose is, to go to work, feed
Correct.
Your children, you know, save the world, or feed the homeless, no matter what it is, you got a purpose. And so the doctor, he just walked in, and he just said to you, you're not going to never see again?
Correct.
That was blunt.
They told me. Yeah, I mean, they medically dressed it up, but, that's what it was. You know, you're not going to be able to see again. And but you got to understand, even to this day, in my mind, I can see. And it's a, you know, I get a lot of people that ask me, you know, well, man, how do you function? You only been blind a year, and you catching flights and buses, and you're traveling. And I tell people the same thing I tell the listeners today and you as well. Again, I lead with God. And with him leading me, there's no fear in my heart. you know, me being blind does not stop me from succeeding in life and being a part of life. That doesn't stop that. So I never sit back and say, well, oh, I can't see, so I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that. I wake up and I forget that I'm blind a lot of times. You know, people that knows me and has been around me throughout this last year and a half, it's funny because some people, I get to walk and it's like, man, you need to slow down because, you know, you can't see. And I'm like, well, hell, if I fall, you know, I'm just going to get back up and try it again. You know, so, you know, it's not something that I necessarily take lightly, but at the same time, I have three beautiful children, and I know I have to be strong. If I'm not strong for myself, I have to be strong for my children, because your children is different. When your children still look up to you, whether you're blind, disabled, you can't walk, whatever issue you may have, you know, your children are still looking up to you, and especially as a man, a black man at that, they're looking, regardless of your disability, as you to be their hero. And I feel that everything I am doing today, everything I've done yesterday, is not only proven to my children, but to people all around the world that I am a hero to somebody.
Wow, you sound you sound so much like my friend Dre. You sound for real. Like you and him got the same dialogue and confidence. You know what? We're gonna change gears a little bit. If you want to line and you have a question for Omar, or you just want to call in and say something, you got to press 1. I'm going to go to the lines real quick before the too many callers build up, okay? We're going to go to the line real fast.
Hello?
2986, you live.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
Hey, how are you? Yes, that's me.
Because my brother's name is Omar, and they always call him Omar, and that's not his
name.
But I just want to give you kudos and congratulations on your achievements. I didn't lose my sight in such a dramatic way. I just lost my sight. I just literally woke up one morning and couldn't see anymore. But people are astonished, and I don't understand why. We as melanated people, to use Leon's word, are strong, and we don't crumble like some other people do. I've worked crisis all my life. I don't know how to panic. So when I woke up and I couldn't see, you know, I saw nothing. I said, okay, this is temporary. My eyes are tired. I've been doing a lot of work lately. I said I needed to rest. So I stayed in bed all that day. And the next morning when I still couldn't see, I called my relative. I was living in Florida, and I only had one relative in Florida. And I said, could you take me to the ER, please? And she said, why? I said, because I can't see. Just like that. She had a face.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. And to this day, it's been almost 10 years. If you ask her about my blindness, she goes, and when she called us, it was just like, oh, look, I need to go to the grocery store. I don't panic. And this is not something I know how to do, because I've always worked crisis. My job was to keep other people calm. So I just made myself one of my clients. So, and I said, okay, let's see what I have to do to take care of this. You know, but so it's good to hear when other people, you know, they move on. You know who's got your back.
Yes.
God's got me. What am I going to worry about?
Always.
What am I worried about? I know he's got me. And before I lost my sight, and I was blessed with a good pastor, before I lost my sight, I used to write and direct plays. And when I called my pastor after 3 days, and I went to the doctor, and he said, I don't know what's wrong, but you'll never see you again. Okay. All right. And I called my pastor, and I told her what happened. I just woke up and couldn't see. The doctor said, I'll never see you again. And her reaction was, how are you feeling otherwise? I said, I feel good. And I had a drama ministry, and we did plays every month at the church. And she said, you feel good? Your body's fine? I said, yeah. And she said, okay. I expect to see you in play, your ministry in place the third Sunday. And I was like, oh, I guess I got to get it together. You know, so I didn't have time to sit around and feel sorry for myself. And I give her the credit for that, because she's been a blessing to me. And she didn't let me sit down and go, oh, woe is me, that I'm not that type of person anyway. But she, you know, and I went right to work on getting the next play together. You know, so, and I've been going on since. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep your head up. And I've learned that there's a whole community of people that's got your back. I don't know what area you're in, but they're all over. You know, I've met
some
strong blind people. And I love me like I love me before. And I'm going to keep on being me, and you keep on doing you.
Amen to that.
Yep. Amen. Thanks for calling.
You know who this is, right, Jay?
Adrian.
Okay. I was like, don't let me. I know how to come after you if you don't know who I am. All right.
Yeah, I know the voice.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
You too.
We're gonna take another caller.
All right.
Nine 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 six zero. You live.
Is that who you unmuted, or did you unmute 1178?
No, I'm money unmuted 9960, but I got you, so it's cool.
Oh, you know, no. You know, you're right, because this is my business phone. I'm sorry, my brother. You're right. I'm on a whole different phone.
What's up?
I apologize.
What's up, Leon?
What's going on, Jay? Omar, right. It is, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Omar, under the affiliation of Grown Folks Talking, in behalf of Talking with Leon, and also Eyes with a New Vision, Seeing Beyond Sight, we just want to give you our condolences on all the losses that you've endured.
Yes, sir.
Second of all, your story is just amazing. I'm also a blind individual.
Oh, wow.
Adrian just got finished talking, and she shared her story. Maybe her story wasn't as tragic as yours, but it was still tragic to wake up and not have no sight, to go to sleep and to wake up and not have no sight. That's tragic. Maybe not as tragic as yours or mine's, because mine's happened over 20 years. So to see your sight go and could not do anything about it, you know, you're just waiting to go into the dark. And I waited until I got to this point right here where I'm on the phone with you. Right about, you know, what you're saying, you know, all this is most high that's working around all of us. And Adrian also touched on that there's a big community out here of us. You know, I don't know what you're affiliated with off the line, but I would get your number so I can reach out to you so me and you can chop it up a little bit more about what you got going on.
Jay can give you my contact. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I'll make sure that I get it from Jay, and I would like to reach out to you to let you know what I got going on and what I got coming down the pipe for the blind community, not only for the blind community, but for the sighted world.
Yes.
Because it's definitely needed, and it's definitely time. What I want to ask you, you know, because Jay asked you a question, I guess I should just wait until that question come back up, because he asked, you know, when you crossed over, what it was like. So I'm not going to ask you that. I'll wait till
we're going to get
back.
To that.
Right. So I won't ask that question. But I want to ask you, whatever injuries did you abstain from the accident?
Well, I broke every bone in my face.
Okay.
I had brain injuries where I had to have brain surgery. Trach in my throat, broken foot, broken wrist. Just picture, what's the best way I can describe it? An unfortunate brother by the name of Emmett Till. I literally look worse than Emmett Till.
Wow.
And, yeah. And the only way I was identified was by a tattoo of an art that I got done of my face on my arm. And that's how I was identified. But, you know, if you saw my face now, you wouldn't believe what God actually did to those doctors to bring me back to a normal individual again. Because, yeah, I could have been walking out like Frankenstein. But, yeah, so the injuries were very severe. And, you know, I know if I could see it, I probably wouldn't have been able to go through it. So, yeah.
What I want to share with you, brother, is that this is just coming directly from me to you,
mm-hmm.
because I have that's driving right now, and has been driving
mm-hmm.
for a few years, like about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I always
okay.
call him every 3 days to call him to make sure everything's all right out there, because I know how fast things can go wrong when you're
yes.
driving these rigs. And what I want to say to you, brother, is that you are a hero, brother, because you saved lives that day.
Yes, sir.
You did. You know, you saved lives with no regards to your own, not knowing what was going to come out with, but you chose to save lives, so that made you a hero in my eyes. And it makes
Thank you
a hero still today. I don't want to take up too
Thank
much
you.
Time. But what I do, when I definitely, you know, I got a lot of questions and stuff that I want to share with you. So, with
yes,
that
sir.
Being said, what I'll do is I'll make sure that I'll get your contact number from Jay so we can chop it up a little bit more.
All
yes,
right,
sir.
Brother. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All
thanks,
right,
Jay.
Thanks for calling, Leon. We're gonna take one more call and then we're gonna go back into your story. It's a lot of people on here, so I'm gonna try to get to everybody. Just be patient, please. Let's see where we at. Zero 0242, you live.
Hello, good evening. Hi, Jay Sean.
Hey.
And hello, Omar. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I am also, I'm doing well, thank you. I'm also with the Grown Folk Talking Network. My podcast
okay.
is the Pink Sofa Talk, Tuesdays at 7:30. But Omar, your story is incredible. Kudos to you. I can't applaud you enough. All right, be safe out there. Sorry, my young man's just leaving. I can't applaud you enough. Just to think that you had the wherewithal to assess saving other people's lives or endangering your own, and you chose to endanger your own. So that just speaks volumes of the type of person that you are, and kudos. I mean, I can't say it enough. Kudos to you, because your mama
Thank
raised
you.
A good boy, and
yes.
you know it's evident, and I say that, and I guess some of that is just you too. It's just what God gave you that you chose to be selfless at that moment. And
yes.
and through it, it's like you said, God's got you, and you made that choice, and he's bringing you through the choice you made, and he's got you all the way. And I love that you say that although you lost your sight, you still see.
Yes.
It just speaks volumes to the hope and the resilience that you have. And I say kudos to you, because like we just saw a brother take his own life, and we wonder why, you know, and people get in situations where they feel hopeless. And but I love your resilience, and it's a beautiful thing. And and then I give you my condolences on the loss of your mom, and your brother, son, and the losses that you face. So I give you condolences for that. But you keep doing you, and stay strong, and keep it going. Keep it going. You're all right.
Now, I like the name of your podcast, too, the Pink Sofa. Yeah, I'm going to have to check you out.
Yes, check us out. Yeah, Tuesday, 7:30 on the Grown Folks Talking Network. We have one number. Can I share it, Jay?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it to him too, cause I gotta give him Leon's number, and I'm getting ready to bring in Forrest right now. I just recognize his new number.
Okay. All right.
But
you can share
the number.
Okay, so the number for Grown Folk Talking is it's on huddle.team, so you can either download that app or you dial in at 520-525-8633. And we have podcasts every day of the week, and if you dial the number during the early part of the day when there's no podcast, there's an itinerary that plays.
Okay.
So I thank you and kudos to you. Keep going on. Stay strong. Be encouraged. And be blessed.
Yes.
Oh, Ma, be blessed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tell them your name.
Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Or,
okay.
As I say, Carol Lucille from the Pink Sofa.
Carol Lucille. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Sure thing.
Omar, we're going to take one more call, and then we're going to go to the break,
right,
and then we're going to come back.
We got a lot of calls.
Recognize my man's. Yeah, I just recognize my man number. 6246. Six, sorry about that.
Jay.
Yo.
What's happening?
Hey, what's up?
All right. Hey, I had a hold on for a minute. Take this off.
Boy. Okay.
So what happened was,
I had a pipe. I had a little burst in the kitchen, and I listened to the brother when he first started, but I didn't hear the full gist of his story. So I just wanted to know.
Okay.
I wanted here for support. I just heard Carol, so I'm going to have to turn this over to the next call, and I'll comment if you want to get right back to me.
I'll definitely get back to you.
Appreciate it, Jay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Oh.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna get right back into your story, because it's a lot of more things. You still got time, right?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Okay, let me see. We're going to go with you, because we still got a lot of people on the line, too. We're trying to connect something. Yeah. Let me see. It ain't connecting yet. All right, we good. We good. I'm back here. I got on all the hats today. So I'm feeling everything. So we got stay tuned. We got more with of this amazing, miraculous story with Omar Williams. Trust me, it only gets better.
we're already in the second hour. Time flies. And don't forget, if you want to press, you want to go live to give a shout out or speak to Omar or anything, you have to press one. So we're gonna keep that Christmas spirit going on. We're gonna play another cut. Let me see if we can get right. Right after this song.
For speeds and set.
And all mistletoe, I'm going to get to know you better. This Christmas and as a tender treat, how much fun it's gonna be together. My world is filled with fear and gloom. Oh, Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright, and we're traveling through the night.
Your mouth
the Christmas spirit right there. That's another Merry Christmas rendition by CeeLo Green. You see, I'm big on CeeLo Green. All right. I think that, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I think that, Let's move on with the interview some more. A lot like my man Leon was saying, and me, and probably a lot of other people. You know, we often wonder, like I said earlier, what happens when you cross over to the other side. You happen to cross over, come back. Crossover,
come back, cross over, come back, and cross over, and come back in five times. To die five times and to be resuscitated five times. First, that goes out, whoever that hospital was, the trauma team or whoever was working, the work relentless like that is a blessing. And but what most people want to know, far as what you know, or far as what you remember. I know we touched on it a little bit the other day, off the phone.
Yep.
But far as being on the table in the emergency room or in the operating room and your heart stopped beating. So would to say like you, like dead. Do you remember? What do you remember about that?
Well, where do I start? Well, I would say this. When you're in that space, I want to say it to where everyone understands it. But I'm just going to say it how it comes to my heart. The first four visions I had when I was crossing over into that life was living hell. It wasn't nothing heavenly about it. It wasn't nothing godly about it. I was being tortured. I would say the first few visions I had, it might sound a little crazy, but I'm going to go and put it out here. There was a rapper by the name of Corrupt. And I was in L.A., and Corrupt happened to get shot and died in the hospital. And they brought me out as Corrupt, but I had, like, this costume that was imitating the rapper Corrupt at the time. his brother didn't like me, so every time he would get upset because he knew I wasn't a gangbanger and all of this stuff, so... You know, his brother, well, I hate him. I know we don't like him, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. I had a trach in my throat. It was like $40,000 trach that's in my throat. So anytime I would lie or think, even think about the lie, that was considered in the gang world as false claiming. There were these blades that would come out through this trach up through my throat, cutting my tongue out and handing it back to the individual who placed the trach on my throat. And my blood would literally drip onto the floor while members of this gang would, you know, do their little blood walk and things that they do. And then I wake up. That had that type of dream about two or three times, and it's like the nurse, like I could hear it when it's coming because it'll play. If anybody's familiar with the artist Dr. Dre, he has a unique sound, you know, almost sounds like violins playing, and like, you know, he has that, you know the beat I'm talking about, Jay? You know how he's like real, like piano, like very, like, you know, I can't describe it to the T, but this music would start to play before this would happen, and I know that, okay, I'm about to die again. So that happened about twice. The third time was we were all in wheelchairs. We was in the nursing home, and we were getting caught up into these webs, and like it was like, you know how you go to the attic and you see all these cotton webs and everything all over the place. Like, we would get tangled up in these webs to the point to where it would suffocate us to death. That was the fourth vision. And the fifth vision was it was royalty. It signified royalty. I was literally a giant tiger and sitting on a throne with a gold diamond crown and all types of gold and jewelry at my feet. You know, I literally remember that verbatim, and it was just when I went back, I didn't realize that until after, like, everything was said and done, when I left the hospital and I said, wow, you know, I was resuscitated 5 times, and these visions that I had, these were real. This is stuff that I felt, you know, and for me to be able to remember it verbatim at this point, I knew that that wasn't just a dream or a bad nightmare. That was a perfect indication of where my life was heading. And what I was preparing myself for. And, you know, I don't know what happened 4 times, but I'm assuming the 5th time, that was God telling me that he got me. And, you know, take these visions that you've had and learn from them and grow from them. And, you know, that's pretty much how that ended for me. Far as, you know, the visions go. There was no devil or, you know, you seeing somebody like a light or anything like that. Your spirit, if you live in the life of sin or any type of ungodly things you're doing, you know, your body is immediately, your soul is immediately going into either torture mode or paradise mode. And my spirit was definitely being tortured. My soul was being tortured. And I don't know why. I don't question it. I don't know why, but God decided to give me another chance. Beyond what I was up against, beyond the fact that clearly I wasn't going to anywhere that had a pearly gate or a gold ribbon to put around my neck. So, you know, that's the best way I can describe it. It's like if you were there, the feeling that you get, it's real. Like it's nothing that is like you, when you die like that, it's like it's crazy. And the stuff that I felt, man, it was just horrible. And, you know, it was terrifying, and it was nothing you could do. Like, you just had to go through it. And, you know, I don't know how many people here as believers of the Bible or whatever, you know, that is, but, you know, to my understanding, they speak about some of this stuff in Revelations, how you're tortured over and over and over again. And that's what was happening to me. Like, I was literally dying just to come back alive, to die the same way again. And, you know, that was probably the most scariest feeling that I probably ever had the experience in my life.
That speaks volumes. Yes. Even your honesty is astounding, because you could come out here and tell us, oh, I seen the white light and the pearly gates was at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you could tell us all that. But you keep it real, and you let us know that you was being tortured and tormented for whatever reasons it is, and that the dreams was like vividly real.
Yes.
And I also like the way you said you don't question your hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just between you and God.
Correct.
and the feeling of the feeling of the realness, I know that got to be a hell of a feeling to be, I guess, yeah, in a coma or dead, and having dreams or nightmares of the circumstances you told us about. I know that had to be like terrifying.
Yes.
And those dreams would occur over and over again.
Yes, and again, you know, later on, you know, until it was explained to me that, hey, you know, you were resuscitated 5 times. And, you know, it kind of like everything connected, you know, it was like connect four, like everything connected. And it was just like, wow, this was real. And they thought, they literally, you know, I would explain this to people and how I know it was something God wanted me to see was nobody thought I was crazy. You know, normally when you tell people this and you're in the hospital, oh, you're just looped out. These meds got you going crazy and you need to take me to the crazy floor. Nobody thought that, you know, and that just told me even more at that point that, oh, the God is talking to me. God is literally moving my spirit and trying to get my attention. And, you know, it was just amazing because it was even – I even recall a story, like, there was another gentleman in the hospital, and he would scream. And I'm like – that was something else I saw. I literally saw demons running around this man's bed. And – When I would call for the doctors and the nurses and the pastor of the hospital, come to find out this gentleman, he pretty much he tried to commit suicide and burn himself up in the car, and they had him strapped to a bed, and he would cry over and over. I would hear it all night. Help! Somebody please help! And I said to myself, and you know, me having these visions at the time, I said I saw a demon literally running around circles of this man's bed. And this is after I saw my vision. And then I would tell the nurses, and I said, hey, y'all need to go over there and pray over that man. That man is being tormented. And literally, I would say a day after I said that to the nurses and the pastor of the hospital, he passed away. The gentleman that I told them to go pray over him because demons were haunting him. And then even it's so much, you know, and I can go on for hours, man. And you know, even now to this day, you know, I have visions beyond what the norm may see or may not see. So it goes deep, man, and trying to explain it, and it, you know, there's not a book that can explain this. It's not a lyric I can write or a poem I can write to explain it. When it hits my heart, I speak it. And when we talked, what was it, yesterday or the day before yesterday, You was very adamant. You were saying, Omar, man, you sure you ready to tell this story? You know, I know it's pretty soon. You just lost your mother. And I said, Jay, listen, man. I said, people need to hear this testimony. This is what God set in my heart. This is what God wants me to do. And this is me being obedient to what God is leading me to do at this point. And I'm hoping that there's somebody on this line listening and taking this in. And I just feel like I'm touching somebody's heart right now because, you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there right now that just might have lost all hope, or even, you know, to the point where they want to take their own life because of the situation they're in. But I'm just hoping my story
touches people to a level and understanding that no matter what this earth brings your way, whether it's going to prison, whether it's losing a leg, whether it's whatever it is, nothing is irreplaceable when it comes to God. You put him first, we're going to be good. You're going to be good. It's not just my story. It's a million other people's stories. And it's not something that I take lightly. Yeah, it's something I take very serious. It's something that really it takes, I feel like I'm a vessel, you know, like God is using me to help others and to encourage others to lead his way. And, you know, that's the best way I can put it. You know, like I said, I don't have no script. So I hope everybody forgives me if, you know, my words are coming out a little jumbled here, but, you know, I'm literally speaking from my heart and not a book, not a script. This is literally words from my heart directly to you.
Wow, that's the way you speak about the demons running around the man's bed. And you being tortured, it's like I draw it up in my mind. It's almost like the good versus the evil.
Correct.
You know, like when you die, it's like the devil trying to pull you one way, and then God is trying to pull you another way. Like you said, the demons was running around the guy dead, who tried to commit suicide. And I think committing suicide is, I'm not really spiritual like that, but I think that's a, in the Bible.
In my belief,
forgot what they call it.
Straight ticket to hell, in my belief.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you actually seen demons running around his bed. That's, wow. And then he still passed away.
Yep, he passed away.
Wow. Let's we gonna go to the lines again real quick. I gotta get some of these callers.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure we got a lot of questions.
5885, you live.
Hey guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, what's up, LaToya?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome. Omar. That's your name, right? Okay. Omar, you are incredible.
Thank you.
I want to, you are amazing. And you're fighting your battle, and you're going to continue on. Because God is just working all up and through you. I just want you to continue after him, to be, you're going to continue following him, and you are a hero.
Yes.
Just let you know you have a huge family because I am a legally blind, Omar.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
I am. Yes, I am. And I am on Grown Folks Talking. I don't have my podcast on that network, but I support, you know, and I also support Block Talk, too. But, Omar, you are just a miracle, and I just want you to continue asking God.
Yes.
Because he's definitely leading. And you're just going to continue following him. You are amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Thanks for calling in, LaToya.
You're welcome.
4088, you live.
Hey, this is Jody. Hey, Omar.
Hey, Miss Jody. How are you?
I'm so excited I got through. I am kind of Omar's, like, one of his adopted moms. Right, Omar? Is that about right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How you doing,
Mom? Hey. So, Merry Christmas. It's a great show. I love it. You know, Omar, this is powerful stuff, man. And I've never heard all these stories, and I'm sorry I never asked, you know. But You know, I want to tell a little story about Omar. The first time that I met him, Randy, his adopted dad's mom had died, and Omar went out of his way to drive his semi to Atlanta and park it at a truck stop and take an Uber to get to the funeral. And I was very impressed by that immediately because I thought this young man went out of his way to come to his grandmother's funeral, you know, through his adopted family. And we all went out to lunch. You remember that, Omar, after the funeral?
Yes.
And Randy took, yeah, and we ate at a swanky, like, five-star restaurant, man. But we were getting ready to eat, and Randy asked Omar to say the prayer, the blessing over our meal. And I was sitting next to Omar. He was on my right. And Omar started to pray, and I immediately felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I sat there, and I think I even told you afterwards, Omar, I said, this man is a man called by God. He has got a testimony. And this was before the accident, before anything had happened. And Omar, I'm going to tell you today, son, God has got a calling on your life. And I know that this sucks that this happened. But this happened for a reason, so that you can share your testimony. And he loves you so much, that your words are going to be far, far reaching. And I love you. Yes. Your dad loves you. He's in there. You know he can't hear, so I just told him I'd send him Philemon. But I really appreciate you letting me get through. I know there's a lot of callers, but Omar, we love you a lot, and I'm so happy to have been able to listen to this tonight. This just made my Christmas.
Love you, too.
Wow, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's
You're welcome.
Moving.
You're welcome. It's a good show.
Thank you, thank you. Where are you calling from?
We're in Panama City, Florida.
Oh, Florida, wow.
So
sunshine.
Yeah,
sunshine.
Omar's been down here. We went dancing for New Year's Eve. Yeah, stayed on the beach.
Okay, you're down there doing the two-step, Omar, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
He was trying to teach this white girl how to dance, but it just didn't work out, you know. I got my own moves, so, you know, if it makes everybody laugh, then I've definitely done a good job on the dance floor that night. That's usually what happens. So.
Hey, make sure you let Pops know he owed me that cheesecake.
I will. We're going to get you down here real soon, okay? We're already talking about how we're going to do that, so you just hang tight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Love you.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much for letting me get through. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think this number been here. I'm not sure. 5392.
How you doing? This is Dr. James.
What's up, Dr. James?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing? All right.
Good.
I'm just calling to give you my encouragement. What state do you live in?
I'm between South Carolina and North Carolina.
Oh, you don't live in New Jersey? I was just wondering.
No, sir.
But it's good to talk to a hero. Like everybody said, because you risk your life for others, and that's a hero.
Yes.
You know, and like Leon said, there's many groups out there that can help you, work with you. There's an entire community of people that are visually impaired, and you'll be surprised. I lost my eyesight about 12 years ago. I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about the community of people doing so many different things until I lost my eyesight. And I started to connect with other people that were visually impaired. And this doesn't mean that, obviously you know, it doesn't mean that this is the end of your life. This is the beginning of your new life. You know?
Oh,
that's the way I look at it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say, you know, I just want to encourage you and tell you that there's so many things you can do. Don't give up. You know? That's all. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, thanks for calling, Dr. Jen. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, man. We got a lot. They can get a lot of love, Omar.
Hey, I'm moving through the spirit right now.
Hey, let me tell you, I've lost track of the numbers. I got to get back to. Let me see. I want to get back to one call. I had to get back to. 6246, you ready? Well, that's my man. He must be still. He got a pipe leak or something, he said. I don't want to forget to get back to him.
Okay.
I'll try him again. Let me see. Okay, we did that one. All right. I think I've been through most of the callers right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I wanted to try to get somebody on the line if I could. This is another amazing person. Hey, oh, you feel the love tonight?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I definitely do.
It's out here, man. It's out here. And it's amazing how everybody say, it's for a reason, like, what's the odds of you calling me the other day? Like, and I haven't heard from you in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the odds of that? And then what's the odds of me telling you about the podcast? And then even that, what's the odds of you agreeing to do it? Like you said, like
right.
I told you, like, I said, you know, with your mother passing last week and everything going on, I'm like, is you sure you prepared to come on here and tell your story? Like, I wasn't really sure. And I even talked to somebody.
Yeah.
I said, you think I'm wrong for inviting him on the show? You know, and they was like, nah, not really. I want to try to get somebody on this line real quick. Let's see if I can get him on here. Might be busy.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Okay, yeah, he must be tied up. I wanted to bring on a friend of mine with muscular dystrophy, try to get back on. He's been confined to a wheelchair since he was like 12. He's like 40-something years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, close friend of mine. And he heard about the story I was about to do today. He was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I think his call got dropped. Dre, if you're still listening, text me, Dre, and I'll call you back in. If anybody else is on the line, you can press 1 if you want to speak to Omar or you just want to give him send your blessings out, some words of encouragement. Oh, he said it didn't ring. What would you want people to know? What would you want people to know about overcoming certain, well, not certain, tragic unforeseen occurrences What could you tell people over the struggles?
That's a good question. I appreciate that. Honestly, you know, again, I'm going to leave with God once again. But when things happen that's tragic, you know, unfortunately, you can't control what has happened nor what's going to happen. All you can control is how you handle it. And, you know, just having a strong belief and a faith that whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're facing, you can get through it. Whether you have a disability, whatever it may be, you know, you can get through it. You just have to, you got to stay strong and know that tomorrow is another day, and every day is not going to be yesterday.
Well said. Because, like, in my mind, I know about the date you say about the accident in April, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And I think, and then you was in a coma or heavily sedated for a couple of months. But
correct.
I think about the days and the hours and the seconds mm-hmm. and the months that followed you waking up and finding out mm-hmm. you was blind and having to adjust to it. You never, it seemed like it. I don't know. It seemed like you never faltered. But I'm sure you had to have down days.
Yeah, no doubt. You're going to have down days. Yeah, you have your down days. But, again, like I just said, you know, it's not, I know tomorrow is not going to be yesterday. You know, tomorrow is a new day. And every day that I wake up, and I'm able to wake up and breathe and walk and talk, and it's a lot, man. And it's not, there's not going to be a perfect day. There's nothing perfect on this earth. So, no, you're not going to have a perfect day, but you can always have a better day. You get what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah.
So
I like that.
It's about having better days and, knowing that you can get through whatever you're going to get through, and, you know, you don't stop trying, you know. Don't dig, just find another way to go around it. Sometimes you got to, you know, knock things down. Sometimes you got to walk around things. And, you know, if you stay focused into yourself and you encourage yourself, you know, you're unbeatable. There's nothing that can defeat you. If you believe in yourself, and believing in yourself is a key to success and to surpass any type of tragedies or mishaps or struggles that you're going through. Believing in yourself is a part of having faith in yourself. And if you have faith in yourself, you will know how to have faith in God. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, that's right. You're a strong brother. You really are. I got to check. Let me check this one number. 9960. Were you on before?
Yes, brother. What's going on?
Okay.
I know you don't recognize the number. That's this is my business number. That's why.
Yeah, that's another number.
Yeah, it's my business number. What I wanted to ask you, brother, is I wanted to know what your day is like now, day to day, like. What do you do? Are you affiliated with any organizations as far as getting out, doing different things? What's your day like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, yeah, I am. You know, I attend. I don't really want to say their name over this, but I do attend some groups that I can tell you about privately. Not every day, but typically, you know, I'm big on fitness. I do work out, you know, and I'm constantly, you know, strategizing with myself and learning from others that are also visually impaired, far as, you know, networking, how to, you know, getting training and schooling on just being, knowing how to be blind, knowing how to function under this capacity. So every day I'm doing that, literally, like, listening to podcasts, listening to other people's stories, people that I've met throughout meetings and stuff from the training facilities I've been attending, far as, you know, next steps and how to actually enjoy life without sight, you know, far as doing things I like to do. And I'm still learning, you know, so I can't really, every day is different per se, but it's still, I'm still learning how to live without my sight. But but at the same time, I'm being confident and not being afraid to try new things. I'm trying something different every day or every other day that I have not learned yet. You know, I don't know if that's really answering your question, but, you know, yeah, that's the best way I can put it.
It's answering my question. Listen, I heard you say you want to try new things, but I want to ask you, I know you said you're in North Carolina right now. What part of North Carolina are you in?
Charlotte.
Okay. Been there. I've been there. So did you try to skydive yet?
No, never tried that.
Me either, and I'm not going to. So,
why not?
You made on point. I don't like to be up that high, number one, and especially with no door open. Number two, but you're doing good, brother. You don't need to see to have vision, and you don't need vision to be able to see. We see.
Correct.
Under the umbrella, under the umbrella of being blind, we still see.
Yes.
I see now than I did when I had sight, because when I had sight, I was in the dark. And now we're not distracted by what's in front of us anymore.
No.
We deal with people from inside out instead of outside in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know what your day was like. It's fine, brother, because I'm definitely going to be reaching out to you, brother, so we can have a offline conversation. Is it any particular time that's good for you to reach out to you?
My phone's always open, brother, so you can call any time. If I don't pick up, I get right back to you, I promise.
Okay, brother, listen, Jay, that number that I'm underneath for right now, I want you to text me, if you can text me his information to that number right there. I would appreciate it.
Okay. The number right there.
When you text it to me, Jay, just text the number. Don't text nothing else but the number. Don't put this Omar number. Don't put nothing. Just put the number.
Okay. I got you.
All right. I appreciate
it. Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Hey Jay, I wanted to tell you too, man. I wanted to put it out there that I don't know if you know, but you're the first person that I've ever spoke as far as publicly like this. This is the first time I've ever, you know, spoken to a number of people at once about my story. So I want to appreciate you for having me here.
Oh man, thank you. I heard the other caller say that she said I know she never heard none of these stories. You know, so it's like, wow, I'm honored.
Yes, sir.
But you know, like everybody know, like I also knew Omar when he had his sight. I knew him when he was much and when he was younger. You know, and always was a good individual.
Not always. Cut it out. Not always. Let me stop.
Well, far as what I know, like a mixture of what would I say? Al B. Short and Drake.
Oh, so you got jokes now, okay. But yeah, that used to be my nickname, I'll be sure. That's only because my eyebrows connected.
See, I'll be sure. I'm just giving the listeners who to put a match of you know, people want to match a face with the voice sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't, you know me, I definitely couldn't let you go without having some fun. You know, I got to have some fun with you.
Yeah, man, that's part of life, man. Laugh is healthy.
You said earlier that when the doctor first walked in and he told you in medical terminology that that you never would be able to see again. And it just made me chuckle that you said that you told him that I thought you was getting ready to tell me my manhood was gone.
No, yeah, that's a true story. Yeah, I said that. And it wasn't just him. It was several people in the room at that point, like far as, you know, all of his team and stuff. And they thought I was crazy. Yeah. I was like, well, you know. Yeah.
You said, take my sight, but don't mess with the Mr. Henry.
Nah, can't do that one. No.
Don't mess with Thunder or whatever you want to call them.
No.
Look, first I want to thank you, but I also want to thank all the people that's on the line. If I couldn't get to you on the line, you could reach out to me if you want to speak to Omar. Anything you want to show him support, you want to make sure his day go by good, you want to be pen pals. I don't know if he open for all that, but the Leon, Latoya, Catherine. We didn't get to talk to the big dog because my man Forrest, he had a water leak. But he also is going through a little something visually. And we've been friends for like 30 years. He the one that started listening to my show and then branched off to do his own show. That's why you keep hearing people saying, on behalf of Grown Folks Talking, that's his network. And Latoya and Leon and Deborah and Catherine and Dr. James and all of them, they come through Grown Folks Talking. So we all like podcast cousins, you know, and podcast families. And that's how it's supposed to be, you know, because together we stand, divided we fall, and we gotta preach that more. But your story, I still, you know, everything that happened in this world, I also believe that it comes from God, because I don't really even believe that this podcast happened. I mean, I wasn't sure, like I said, about asking you to do it, but it felt good, and it seemed like it was the right thing to do. And one way I live my life is like I always go with my gut feeling, and in my guts, they tell me that this podcast is good. Okay, I gotta bring somebody in real quick. He late to the party. We got a couple of more minutes. He said we could talk after hours. Yo. Oh, man.
Yo.
Well, you said we could talk after hours.
Yeah, so, you know, after 10, the link shut off.
Yeah, oh, after 10 o'clock, everybody, Omar, everybody that's on the link, they lose the show.
Uh-huh.
But the people that's on the phone lines, they still could hear us, and we still could communicate. We like to call that the after party after 10 o'clock.
After party?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. The link, the people on the links, they lose us, but the people on the phone lines, they stay with us. So I think, you know, we sometimes go over sometime today until they cut us off. We try to wait till the freaks come out at night. Hey, so this is my man right here on the line. This is my man Dre right here. Let me tell you who he is, Omar.
All right.
This is my man Dre that I wrote his life story. I'm an author. Movies,
yeah.
Books, podcasts. Let me tell you.
The book, man, before I lost my sight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You read my book. You know what? I forgot. I gotta shout somebody out if I still got time. Damn, I forgot all about it. I forgot to shout out my sponsors. Dre, you ain't on your job. That's Dre. That's my graphic designer and program director. Damn, I forgot all about that. Bear with me, everybody. 1 minute.
Your name is Leon, right?
Who?
Your name is Leon, right?
No, his name is Omar.
Omar. Omar,
I'm here.
I will say, you're the first person that I can feel after the late show.
Yes.
You know, your situation was a lot more tragic than mine. Mine happened because of pneumonia. I had pneumonia, and long story short, the doctor told me, told my family, and there's nothing they can do also. You know?
Wow.
I don't remember how it felt being in the coma. It was so long ago. But I just want to tell you, man, that no matter what we go through, when God brings us back here, it's not for our purpose. You know what I'm saying? We're here to help the next person. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I admire you. I admire your spirit, your courage, everything about you, brother.
Thank you so much, man. That means a lot.
My man, remember you said you had a trach, Omar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drake got a trach right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He got a trach. He in a wheelchair. He the one that I wrote his life story. It's called it's my number one selling book out of all the books I sell. The Andre Williams story. Because he was only given 12 years to live, and he how old you now, Dre?
46.
46. And he was given 12 years to live.
Wow.
And his life story,
awesome.
His life story is crazy. Well, shit. Hey, I said crazy. He told me not to say crazy tonight.
Yeah, crazy.
One crazy.
All right, you got that. Got anybody.
he said, he reminded me tonight, he said, when you're talking to Omar, don't say crazy. Because every time somebody tell me something that's shocking, or I'll be like, somebody fell off a building. I'd be like, that's crazy.
I call that a habitory behavior.
Yeah.
It's like smoking a cigarette for you.
when I hear somebody saying stuff, no matter how bad it is or good, I'll be like, yo, that's crazy. But it's just like, it just, you know, I'm just used to saying it.
Yeah, it's a habit.
Yo, don't say it. It's a habit. You're like, yo, don't say crazy tonight. You heard me say his life story is crazy. But anyway, his life story is real compelling. It's an what's the word for that? Inspiring. He also died and came back.
I
got two people on my show tonight who crossed over to the other side and came back. Now that itself is something, to have two people on the same show who died and came back. Because a lot of people wondering what happened after death. Like in Dre was in he was in a coma for a month, and his grandmother came to the hospital, kicked everybody out, the doctors, everybody out, and prayed for him and threw the oil and all that, dancing in the I don't know about dance. I'm joking, but you know, did all that stuff, and he woke up when the doctors said he was done.
Yeah.
He in a wheelchair. But he said, but earlier when you was talking, it sounded like when I'm talking to him. You know how when you said that, even though you blind, it feel like you could see.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's how like Dre is. Like Dre is more like, even though he can't walk, it's like he could walk, you know, like, and if you talk to him, he got like a power wheelchair, but if you talk to him, I'll be like, where are you going? He's like, I'm getting ready to walk to the store. Or what you doing? I'm walking home. Like, you know what I mean? So even though it's like he not, and his confidence is up there with yours.
Yeah, you got to be confident at what you do.
Confident
at what you do.
And he humble, but he also got a podcast on Monday nights at 8:30. I think it's 8:30. He got a podcast with the same phone number that you call for my podcast on Mondays at 8:30, Dre?
Yeah, 8:30.
8:30, he got a podcast. His is more like for unsigned artists, R&B and hip-hop artists. And, you know, in Delhi, and, you know, he have other people come through, too.
Right.
When I first met Dre, he told me that he came up to me. I was doing a book signing for another one of my books. And he came up to me in his wheelchair. I think he bought my book. He ran some game on me. He bought my book. I believe in that. You got to pay or pay. You got to pay to play, you know. So he bought my book, and then he asked me would I write his life story. And I was looking at him like, this guy in a wheelchair, like, what kind of life did he have? Like, what did he do? That's what I'm saying in my mind.
Yeah, I just hope the conversation, the fellowshipping that we did tonight will really, you know, wake people up, you know, that's blind to time, because time is not going to wait for you, and you shouldn't wait for it. And, you know, we're not promised to wake up. You know, we can hang up this line right now and that'll be it, you know, and, you know, you have your services and that's it. So, you know, I'm really hoping that this conversation tonight really enlightened some people to understand that, one, God is real. Two, you don't have time to waste. You don't have time to play. Put in the work while you can, because when your quarters run out, it's game over. There ain't no going back changing it. So you got to live for today and prepare for tomorrow.
Wow!
You don't
do the social media, Instagram, Facebook. You don't do none of that.
I'm not a big social media person. You know, I'm still trying to get in. You know, I'm old school. You know, I'd rather send you a letter. You know.
Well, I'm still writing giving, a check mark. I'm giving your number to Leon. I'm definitely giving your number to Leon so you could connect with the for
yes.
everybody over there, grown folks talking. That's a another inspiring movement over there with a host of podcasts. But it's good, you know, it's good. It's always who you know. You don't know, like you said, you don't know what doors this podcast might open. But
correct.
If anybody want to get in touch with Omar, you know, just reach out to me. I mean, I don't.
Or you can email me my.
Oh, yeah. What's your email?
My email is 201. P as in Paul, N as in Nancy, J as in John @gmail.com. That's 201PNJ@gmail.com.
201 P. What's the rest?
Nancy John.
Wait, say it again.
PNJ.
PNJ. Oh, 201 P. Oh, Patterson, New Jersey. And what's the numbers? What's the rest?
That's that. It's 201. PNJ@gmail.com.
Oh, @gmail.com. Shit, I can even remember that. And also, do you got a Cash App or anything?
Yes, it's @OWIL973. That's @OWIL973.
Okay, that's easy to remember. And if anybody out there can't remember his email or his Cash App, you can reach out to me, and I'll get it to you. Dre, is there anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, the last name is Williams. Hold up now.
Yeah.
his name is Williams.
Yeah, born and raised.
Are you related to anyone named Willie Boy?
Say that again.
Willie Boy.
That sounds familiar. We got a lot of Williams in Patterson. So
yeah.
That's from 11th Ave, Park Ave, you know, up by East 38th, they Williams, they family.
Okay.
That's it. Anything else, Dre?
Yeah, man, just, you know, keep going, man. And I was going to talk to you. Through Randy, I was trying to get another talk to you about a couple of things.
Okay.
And we can probably work on it together, you know, my podcast or something like that. We'll talk, though.
Definitely. Nice to meet you, brother.
You too, brother. You too.
Okay. I think that about wraps it up, man. With any closing statements,
we covered a lot tonight.
Is there anything you wanted to say, O?
Yeah, just keep God first and understand that whatever you're going through, He's going to get you through it.
Oh, man. Hey, yo, listen, I want to do one more thing, O, before you go. One more thing. For real. Let me see. Let's see if this works. All right, I think I hung up. Okay. I was trying to call one of my close friends. He's a truck driver. He might still be on the line. He probably hear this. But I don't want to hang up on him and hang up on everybody. But look, it's been real. I really appreciate you coming through on such short notice. Or feel free to listen every Friday night. We up here every Friday night from 8 to 10. You know, I'm up here doing the best that I could do. You know, started off as a relationship podcast. And we kind of switched over a little bit. But, you know, we still into that relationship thing. And, I mean, I want, like I said before, I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank the people that was on the line. I forgot to call out my two sponsors. I probably just lost two sponsors, but I forgot. Sometimes I get so wrapped up into my guests and my interviews that I'm like zeroed in. You know what I mean? And
it's not too late to call them out.
I don't know if they're on the link. I can't find the information. I'll just call it Dream Driving School. Look it up. In Elmwood Park, New Jersey, I think. Dream Driving School, and it was another trucking company. I can't really remember this time. Anyway. We still got a lot of callers on the line too. I want to thank everybody for listening to Omar's story. If it's anything that I took from it, I'm just speaking for me. I took from it that in life, like, we just passing through. Everybody got a expiration date, and you don't know when your number gonna be called. But I think we have to stay prepared and right with God.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, message canceled. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Okay, that was my man, answer machine. Sorry about that. You have to stay right with God. You have to live every day like it's your last day. People how much that mean a lot to you, tell them how much they mean to you. And please stop worrying about things, this bills and who talking about you and pimples. And is your butt big enough? Who messing with who wife and who messing with who husband? Stop worrying about all them things like that. Because there's people in this world that's really got real struggles and really going certain things, and you don't know what it is to struggle. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is to have hard times. You don't know what it is to wake up and can't walk and or can't see or can't hear. We gotta start appreciating life first, starting with God and walking like people like Omar and Dre and other people with disabilities walk and live each and every day. I'm going to try to end this. Oh, is there anything else you want to say? You done? That's you good?
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it, man. And, you know, anytime, I don't mind telling my story. It is a testimony, and, you know, I hope I can continue to enlighten people and give people the strength and the courage to proceed in this thing we call life. And, you know, I send my blessings to every one of you. Thank you.
What was you nervous?
Nervous? No.
Tonight? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. No. You was ready. I know you called me up. You said, it's showtime, man. It's game time.
Good. We're still online? Man?
Yeah. Hey. Still live.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to sign out right now. 10:17.
Okay.
We over, but I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna hit you up tomorrow. I gotta give Leon your number, and we gotta chop it up about some other things. This just the beginning. This ain't just like a phone call on the podcast, and then we don't reach out to each other for another 5 years.
Yeah.
We not gonna do that this time, because this podcast happened for a reason. Everything mm-hmm. that happens for a reason. And I
right.
believe this podcast started for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, we out of here. Yo, O, I love you. I don't use that
love
word
too
much, but only certain people. And I want everybody out there, have a good night. We're gonna end this with some serious hand claps. Everybody be safe. Everybody have a happy holidays. Happy Merry Christmas. I'll be out here next week on the 30th, right before
New
Year's. New Year's Eve. I'll be out here. Please tune in next week on the 30th with another dramatic, impactful, entertaining. So everybody out there, Andre, be safe. Omar, everybody that calls in tonight, everybody that was on the links, everybody support the show, kudos. You know what I'm saying? Peace and love. And Omar, I hit you tomorrow. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Here you come.
All right. We out of here. Peace.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Get a shot of one. Remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and save, save a win. Nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, yeah, and love a homie, love a friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works.
Yeah,
when there's rain showers, the sun shines again.
Woo.
Gotta weather every storm just to sail again.
Woo.
I know the time is now. I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee. I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. Sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.